Seems for the past year I've been in the book of Genesis. When I come here, the lives of the patriarchs really fascinates me. I'm really thrilled by the family of Abraham. Verse 1 in chapter 39, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard of the Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites who had brought him down here or there. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. All that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house that, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not anything he had save the food which he did eat. And Joseph was a handsome person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that the master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master knoweth not what is it with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath into my hand. There is none greater in this house than I. Neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his work, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spoke unto them, saying, see, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got out. And she laid up his garment by her and his lord until his lord came home. And she spoke unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant whom thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, and that he left his garment with me and fled. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spoke unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made to prosper. Joseph, in so many ways, reminds us of our Lord. First of all, he was hated by his own brethren. And that was the case of our Lord when he came to this earth. When they brought him to Pilate, Pilate said very clearly, he knew that for envy that they had delivered him into his hand. So there wasn't anything that got by Pilate's notice, because he recognized that his brethren hated him. Like our Lord, Joseph was sold as a slave. In fact, he was twice sold by his brethren to those merchants, and then the merchants went down to Egypt and sold him to an officer of Pharaoh. But you notice the recurring theme in this chapter. Whatever happened to Joseph, whether in Potiphar's house, prospering as a servant, whether in the prison, this theme keeps coming up, but the Lord was with Joseph. So first of all, we're going to look at the presence of the Lord in the life of this dear man of God. And then we're going to look at his prosperity. How the Lord prospered him in the things which he did. And then we're going to look at his piety, his godly disposition, his loyalty, not only to his master, but most of all, to his God. The presence of the Lord. And this is something, beloved, you and I need to recognize, especially in the dark times of our lives, especially in the time of trouble, especially in the time of temptation. We have a tendency to believe, well, the Lord has forsaken me. Why is all this happening to me? And we seem to want to have a pity party because things are not going well as far as we are concerned. But in the case of Joseph, we didn't find him complaining. Here was a man who recognized, and he would express this later on as he revealed himself to his brethren. He says, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God sent me to this place. He sent me before you to prepare a posterity. So, beloved, you and I need to take a lesson from this man, recognizing that whatever happens to us, whatever circumstance we might find ourselves in, we need to recognize the presence of the Lord. After all, that's his name. That's one of the compound names of Jehovah. And you can find that at the end of Ezekiel, that in the midst of God's people, the children of Israel, the 12 tribes, we find this phrase, the Lord is there. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. If we can recognize that the presence of the Lord continually, it would make a difference in how we deal with trials, how we deal with temptations, how we deal with disappointment. And you find that this man, he would do everything right, but something wrong happens, seemingly. But for Joseph, it was not an accident. For Joseph, it was not being a recompense evil for good. For Joseph,
it was that the Lord was leading him. The Lord was guiding him. The presence of the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 31 tells us, thou shalt hide them, that is your people, in the secret of thy presence. The secret of thy presence. And whatever happens, beloved, let us recognize the all-abiding presence of the Lord. For the angel of the Lord encompasseth them that fear him. They encamp around him, they enclose him, and take care of him. That's the presence of the Lord. Look at the verses. Verse 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph. Verse 3, and his master saw that the Lord was with him. So he recognized the Lord's presence with his servant. And not only that, but everything that this man had began to flourish and prosper for Joseph's sake. What an influence, what an impact he had on those around him. And you and I, beloved, we need to have an impact. We need to be an influence for good. Certainly, the life of this godly man had an impact. Verse 21 says, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Falsely accused, fleeing from evil, yet he is condemned. Condemned by those around him. It's like our Lord. He was absolutely perfect. He was absolutely pure. And even those who didn't like him, even those who didn't believe what he said, didn't believe in his deity, they recognized that he was holy. He was different. What manner of man is this? He alone can stand up before a hostile crowd. And though they wanted to stone him, they needed a reason. And he said, which of you convicteth me of sin? Not a stone. Absolutely pure, absolutely perfect. And we had it this morning by the testimony of Pilate's wife. He is a righteous man. Don't touch him. Yet he delivered him to be crucified. Falsely accused. I'm going to say this, beloved, because I always believe this from the first time I studied this portion. I've heard it expressed after this. I don't believe that Potiphar's husband believed her. I really don't think so. Why do I say that? But he knew the man that he had. He knew the servant. And a man in his position, if Potiphar, because Potiphar owned him, and if he believed his wife's complaint, he would have put him instantly to death. No questions asked. He must be angry. He must show anger. He cannot take the side of a slave in front of his wife. So he had to show some anger. But he didn't believe. He sent him to prison. Why? Because as the Lord was with him in my house, the Lord is going to be with him in the prison. And so it was. So it was. The presence of the Lord. How important it is for you and me, beloved, in our daily lives, in our ministry, to have the presence of the Lord. When the Lord brought the children of Israel out of Egypt and he gave Moses the command to take them along, to take them up,
Moses says, Lord, I'm not going to go except your presence. Go with us. I can't go. You said I have found favor in your sight. I'm thinking of Exodus 33, beloved. Your presence will go with us. Let me know that you are with us. Let me know that this is your people. Because except your presence go with us, I will not go up. And the Lord said to Moses, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. What assurance. My presence. My presence. Oh, beloved, the presence of the Lord is something that you and I should recognize and should glory in, because not only in the good times, but in the dark days, the times of trials and temptations. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there. I was trying to get a poem copied, but I didn't find the time. But you know the story of footprints. And this man, he had this dream, and he saw his life flashed before him. And he recognized the two set of prints. But then as he went on in his life, he saw just one set of prints. And he said, Lord, how could you leave me at this particular time in my life? And I'm paraphrasing. Don't take every word I said, but you get the gist of the story. You know it. You have read it several times. I noticed that only one set of prints, and those are the times, the darkest times of my life. The time when I needed you most, you left me, and the Lord said, my child, I never left you. Oh, I never left you. He said, but how come there's only just one set of prints during those dark times? And the Lord assured him, when you see those one set of prints, those are the times when I carried you. I carried you. I never left you. You are so dear to me. I never left you in your time of agony, in your time of trial. And that's the promise you and I have, beloved. As we turn to the New Testament, we find the Lord says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Even in the dungeon, the Lord was with Joseph. Even in our darkest hours, beloved, let us recognize the presence of the Lord. Let me just read, because I want to read this, because this speaks of the omnipresence of the Lord. Psalm 139, I know you know the text. I read a few verses, and verse 7 through 10, it says, whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwelt in the uttermost parts of the sea, you ask Jonah, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. In Potiphar's house, the Lord was with Joseph. In the dark dungeon, the Lord was with Joseph. In Potiphar's house, he was in charge. He was in charge of the whole household. And so he can say to Potiphar's wife, everything is under my control. My master has not kept anything from me except thee, because thou art
tremendous loyalty. Beloved, you and I, we have the assurance of the Lord's presence, His divine presence in service after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And before He ascended to the Father's right hand, He commissioned His disciples and commissioned us to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. But He didn't leave us alone. He says, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Even unto the end of the age, I am with you. Sometimes we might feel alone, but we're never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave us. Never to leave us alone. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord, is there. He is there everywhere, wherever we find ourselves, under whichever circumstances we may find ourselves, the Lord is there. I tell you, I'll read from Isaiah 43 for you, just briefly, one verse. This should give us comfort, beloved. Verse 2 says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel." I don't know what you're going through at this present time. Maybe you are severely tested. Maybe there's testing in your family. Maybe things are not going as you picture them, as you wanted them to go. Don't give up. Remember, the Lord is with us. One hymn writer puts it this way. I think it's Fanny Crosby, but you take my word for it. "I must have the Savior with me, for I dare not walk alone. I must have His presence with me and His arms around me thrown. Then my soul shall fear no ill. Let Him lead me where He will. I will go without a murmur, and His footsteps follow still." Stephen, as he recounts the history of God's people, and when he got to Joseph, as he gave his testimony of God's care over his people, at a time when they were hostile against him, he stood up and he said this. In Acts 7 and verse 9, he says, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, and sold Joseph into Egypt. But God was with him and delivered him out of all his afflictions and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house." The presence of the Lord. Then we see the prosperity of Joseph. Whatsoever he did, God prospered him. He prospered him. You see, beloved, when we are faithful, the Lord is going to reward us. The Bible says, them that honor me, I will honor, saith the Lord. And they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Look at the prosperity of the man. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, verse 2. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. A prosperous man. We also have that in verse 3, prosperity, verse 5, and verse 23. God blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. For Joseph's sake. What an impact he had. What a testimony he had. Because even the Egyptian can see that the Lord was with him. Is it any wonder that he says, you take it all, Joseph. It's all under your care. By doing that, God blessed his house. The prosperity of the man of God. This first psalm tells us, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth its fruit in its season. And it says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, some people see this word prosper. They see this word prosperity and their eyes light up. And they think, oh, the Lord's going to make me rich. I am supposed to be rich. I'm supposed to be prosperous. I'm supposed to have mansions. I'm supposed to have airplanes. I'm supposed to have Rolls Royces. That's what it says, prosperity. They know nothing about spiritual prosperity. All they see is green. And that's not what it's talking about. But they twist it to mean money. And Paul tells us about those who twist it to mean money. They pierce themselves through with many sorrows. They can't hide from the government because they are enriching themselves at the expense of poor people, and they say, we have a right to that. You don't. You don't. But the prosperity is in the things of the Lord. In the things of the Lord. And they leave out the word of God. They don't pay attention to the word of God, but that's what God says of prosperity. He said to Joshua, you observe, first of all, you need to delight in my word, as Moses did, Joshua 1. You need to speak my word. You need to meditate therein day and night. You need to observe all that is written therein, and then thou shalt have good success. And then you shall prosper. We have forgotten about the spiritual prosperity. When Daniel was thrown into the den of lions in Daniel chapter 6, and that king couldn't sleep all night, he came and he shouted. I guess he was glad to see the sun rise. Because he had a miserable night, he knew he had done something wrong. Daniel, you know he would answer. Daniel,
servant of the Most High God, is thy God a? And he heard that voice coming from the pit. O King, live forever. O King, live forever. My God, whom I serve continually, he sent his angel. I experience in the dungeon the presence of the Lord. He sent his angel. And then he said, this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius. Nobody could bring an accusation against him after this. His prosperity extended beyond Darius. It also extended to Cyrus. But he was prosperous. He prayed for prosperity. Just as Nehemiah, who built the wall, asked the Lord to prosper him. He wasn't asking for money. He wasn't asking to be enriched by the poor people. He was asking for prosperity that he might be successful in obtaining favor, in obtaining all the materials that were necessary, the timber, so that he can build a wall, not to build a mansion for himself, but to build the walls and to remove the reproach from the city where the Lord was pleased to place his name. Needed materials. He needed to rebuild the gates because they were burned with fire. He needed to have a prosperous journey back to his homeland, the land of his father's birth, and there to build and rebuild that wall that was broken down. But he asked for prosperity, not for himself, but to honor the Lord. He was a man who was prosperous in his endeavors, because his endeavors were consistent with glorifying God. And he says, according to the good hand of my God upon me, he says, I prospered. I was successful. We need to prosper spiritually as well. And when John wrote in 3 John, a dear man of God who was a spiritual giant. He prospered spiritually, but apparently he was in poor physical health. And John's prayer and desire to this dear man, Gaius, it was that, above all things, he says, I wish, above all things, that thou mayest prosper, even as thy soul prosper. Oh, that you might be in health. I wonder if our physical health was the same as our spiritual health, if we're able to walk here this morning. He says, as your soul prospered, I wish that your body, your physical being would be in such shape. Prosperity. Spiritual prosperity. That's what we need. In Proverbs we read, and this is how not to be prosperous. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Oh, the Lord's desire for Joshua, that thou mayest prosper
wherever thou goest. Wherever thou goest.
Joseph prospered. He prospered in Potiphar's house. He was the top man in the house. And even after a false accusation and imprisonment, he prospered in the dungeon. You follow this man. Where do you think he's going to end up next? From the pit to Potiphar's house to the prison. But he's not finished. He's going to Pharaoh's court.
He's going to Pharaoh's court.
Hey, Pharaoh, I heard about you, Joseph. I heard that you can interpret dreams. I heard you can solve my problems. And Joseph said, wait a minute. It's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Where did he get that from? He got it from his own life and his own experience. It was about God leading him. When those boys thought, oh, he's going to have revenge on us now. He's going to deal with us and he's going to put us in prison. He says, don't worry. Don't worry. You meant it for evil. Like I said, he is so much like our Lord. He reminds us so much like our Lord. When the Lord was there on the cross in agony and pain, he didn't pray for the destruction of those who were brutalizing him, but he prayed, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Joseph said, don't worry. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God sent me before you to prepare a posterity. Finally, we look at his piety, his holy living, his dutiful regard, his keeping of his obligation. Now, the easy thing to do would have been, okay. And we say, well, there's nothing wrong as long as consenting adults, fine. It's over, nobody would know about it. But he was a pious man. He was a man who was given to loyalty. He was committed to his father, to his master's trust. You see, there was a fiduciary agreement. There was a fiduciary arrangement. He said, you, everything I have charge over, everything except you, and I'm not going to violate that trust. That's loyalty. But his loyalty was not only to Potiphar. It's not only that he wanted to be faithful to the trust that his master had given to him, but he says, moreover, how can I do this wickedness and sin against God? This is something you and I, we need to keep in mind. When we are thinking, well, these are consenting adults, no harm done. Wait a minute. No harm done as far as who is concerned. We need to look at the big picture. Because it is not just between us. It is not just between friends. It is not just between you and I. Ultimately, our actions, if they are sinful, is against God. And that's the big picture. And that's what should keep us in line. Maybe your boss isn't very good to you, and maybe you want to get back at him. And okay, you want to get back at him. All right. This is good for him. But it doesn't end there. It doesn't end there. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? When David sinned against Uriah and against Bathsheba,
It wasn't just between them. Because in his great psalm of confession, Psalm 51, he said this, "Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this great wickedness in thy sight." Ultimately, beloved, our actions against God. Ultimately. That's what we need to keep in mind. And so we see the piety of the man. He refused. "My master trusts me," first basis. But more than that, this is a sin against my God. That's what I'll have to live with if I give in. So the best thing to do is to flee. I need to get out of here. Some people think that was a cowardly act. It's better to flee than to fall. That wasn't a cowardly act. That was an act. That was an act of piety, an act of godliness. He refused. I'm just going to read quickly. Just a few verses from Proverbs 1. You know this, so I don't have to read the whole thing. But Proverbs 1 verse 10 says, "My son, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not." You don't have to give in. You don't have to yield. You don't have to say, "Well, it was a temptation I couldn't resist," because God will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear, but will with the temptation also provide a way of escape. Keep the court. I am getting out of here. I'm getting out of here. If they say, "Come with us, let us lay wait for blood, let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up alive, as Sheol and whole as those that go down into the pit," and so on. Don't cast your lot with them. Don't cast your lot with them. Many people got into trouble because they just went along. We went along for the ride, but the car was stolen. We went along for the ride, but it was a holdup they were getting into. I was just sitting there. You were there. Get out of there. Keep the coat. Don't consent. It's not a cowardly act to run. In fact, the Bible tells us to flee. Joseph was a young man, a handsome man, a man well favored. The Bible said, "We, you and I, must flee also youthful lust." He did the right thing. He did absolutely the right thing. Flee also youthful lusts. Don't be obsessed with things that are not belonging to you. Obsession with riches. Obsession with things of the world, the flesh and the devil. 1 Thessalonians 5:22 says, "Abstain. Abstain. Stay away. Refuse. Flee, if you will, from all appearance of evil." Peter in 1 Peter chapter 2, and Peter should know, "Beloved, abstain. Abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul." Stay away. Don't touch it. Don't indulge in it. If sinners entice you, do not consent. Joseph did not consent. Because of his loyalty, because of his commitment, first of all to his God and also to his master. Because if he betrayed his master, he would have betrayed his Lord in the process. Oh, beloved, that we, you and I,
first of all, would recognize, even in dark times, that the Lord is with us. He is always there. And if we honor Him, He will honor us, and He will prosper us, and we will even have an impact on those around us, as He had an impact on Potiphar and his household. We display piety, and the Lord will exhort us in spite of the prison, in spite of the charge against us. Because the Apostle Peter reminds us very clearly, beloved, if I fall and if I'm suffering because of something I did, there is no glory in that. I mean, I go down there and I get myself into trouble and I get in prison. I can't say, oh, you have to pray for me because they're persecuting me because I'm a Christian. They caught me stealing. And they're persecuting me because that's no glory. If you want to go in the world and get entangled with the world system and they start buffeting you and it's only because I'm a Christian, what are you doing there? Get out of there. We say if you suffer for righteousness' sake, that's the difference. That is acceptable with God, he says. We flee from suffering, not recognizing that the Lord is able to lift us up, is able to bring us out. Joseph, his father said of him after all this, he is a fruitful bone. Oh, the archers that took their best shot at him. But they couldn't bring him down. They couldn't bring him down. The son of his father's love. The son of his father's old age. God bless his word, beloved. And encourage the saints by these few thoughts concerning this dear man of God, Joseph, who went through so much, but that's not the way he ended. God exalted him. Our Lord Jesus went through a whole lot. The buffeting and the spitting and the scorn. But the Bible says God also hath highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow. Look at Joseph's brothers. They're coming and they're bowing before him. He told them that they didn't believe him. We are telling the world, you're going to bow at the feet of Jesus one day, willingly or unwillingly, you're going to bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. They went back to their father and said, Joseph is alive. We thought we got rid of him. He's alive and he's governor of Egypt. His father says, oh yeah, I've seen the evidence. I will go and see Joseph before I die. God bless his word. Father, we thank thee for bringing us together. We thank thee for the truth of thy word. We thank thee for the relevance of thy word, for whatsoever written aforetime or written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. We give thee thanks for such godly men thou hast recorded in thy word, but none like our Lord, who was perfect in all his house. We give thee thanks now as we ask thy blessing in parting. Watch over us. Lord, take us to our respective homes in peace and in safety. Encourage the saints. Encourage the leadership, we pray, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.